Hare Krishna, still in Budapest, but on my way to a new Rajadharam with Niranjan Maharaj this evening, just have some meetings. And today is the 1st of February. In theory, I was supposed to have, and probably could have actually finished my writing and begun to do some rewriting and working on other material that needed to be edited for my original first write of some chapters, but unfortunately the month of December, month of January, here, the part in the UK, traveling around really took its toll. It was just not possible for me to keep up the pace that I had really set for myself, so I'm a little behind, and 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be on an airplane going to Mayapur. And the GBC meetings, it's very, very difficult to do anything but to speak of meetings and then meetings and more meetings. So let's see what happens. But anyway, I'm on the last chapter of the Parikrama, not the last chapter of the book. I still have a one more chapter after that, which is giving advice to the residents, as well as sort of the future of New Brajadam and Hungarian Yatra. But in terms of Parikrama, I'm on the last chapter of the Parikrama. And today, just making a comment, as I'm seeing the headlines on BBC, thousands gathered at Egypt protest. Probably devotees of follow the events that are going on, very major events. They could have, they do have all kinds of possible repercussions for us as well. And it really started in Tunisia some time back when the sort of dictatorial government over there was, in a matter of days, thrown out by a popular uprising. And although Tunisia is not that a significant place geopolitically, but Egypt is very much so. It's the most populous country in the Middle East with a big army. And for the last week, there's been a very, very serious uprising, rioting over there, and with the army actually staying neutral and not getting involved. And what it looks like is that they are definitely going to get rid of, they've already forced President Mubarak to change the cabinet, to call for new elections and other type of reforms, but they're not going to be happy until he gets out. And then once he gets out, well then the question is, who gets in? Seems like the only organized opposition party is called a Muslim Brotherhood, and that name in itself says something. It's not a secular government by any stretch of the imagination, and of course that would have real knock-on effect, and certainly leaders of Mideast countries must be worrying about these things, because these developments, because they are all in one way or another also dictatorships, almost without exception, except for Israel squeezed in there, and of course the Palestinian government, and even Lebanon, but then they also have a Hezbollah sympathizer or member, as also I believe they're under political heads. In any case, it's potentially a tinderbox, and could really go up in smoke. And we'll see what does end up happening. One thing for sure is that it's causing instability in a part of the world where there's oil. That means oil prices are going up. Now the Suez Canal, which goes through Egypt, is being, according to news reports, avoided by ships, which will mean that shipping is slower, more expensive. And just to bring us back to where it all started, It all started both in Tunisia and here also in Egypt by people protesting rising food prices. The price of food is going up. One article that I read was sort of entitled "Goodbye to Cheap Food." And of course, that's the most staple commodity in anybody's life, the food that we're eating. And if we can't afford to eat, people will really rise up. And this is what's caused the situation there. It may be a dictatorship. There may be so much graft and corruption. But will a new government bring down the price of food? Will it solve the problem for people who are addicted and actually want to increase their participation in a consumer society, and they want to be able to spend, and buy all kinds of things? Will new governments really actually make a difference? People may be euphoric about getting rid of old governments, but the business of governance is not an easy thing, and especially when the formula is always the same. That it's based on materialistic values with the aim of placating people with promises of higher standards of living. No one can ultimately fulfill their promise because there are not the resources in order to do so. And that's the bottom line. And unfortunately, the more that we try to fulfill the consumer promises, the more and more we compromise the ability to feed people, and the resources for feeding people increasingly decrease more and more. And whereas people can do without having three mobile telephones or even one, they can't do without eating at least once or twice a day. So exciting times, and we'll continue on with podcast again tomorrow from New Rajadhan. Hare Krishna.